Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in central and western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. The graduation rate for the class of 2022 on Long Island was 92.6%, about the same as the prior year, New York State education officials reported yesterday. Long Island's graduation rate continued to exceed the state average. Statewide, the proportion of seniors earning diplomas ticked upward to 87% from 86.1%, according to figures. Craig Schneider and Michael R. Ebert report on Newsday.com that a year ago, Long Island's graduation rate for the class of 2021 was 92.2%. New York's graduation rate continues its steady upward trend, said State Education Department spokeswoman Emily DeSantis. Despite the sustained trajectory, additional work must be done to improve outcomes for all students, especially our most vulnerable populations, said the department spokeswoman. Some educators, however, say graduation rates in recent years have increased because, in part, the state has canceled numerous Regents exams during the pandemic. Students have been graduating without Regents diplomas since the pandemic due to waivers, said Alan Singer, a Hofstra University professor of education. Consequently, some districts had an increase in graduation rates, he says. In Suffolk County, graduation rates rose slightly to 91.2% from 90.8%, the figures showed. The New York State Education Department remains committed to removing barriers to opportunities for students and providing a foundation for educational excellence and equity, said Ms. DeSantis. While the increase in graduation rates for the class of 2022 appears to be good news, we remain concerned about whether it is an accurate reflection of how well students are prepared for the future, said Jeff Smink, Deputy Director of the Education Trust New York, an education policy and advocacy organization. Smink said that too many New York students are graduating from high school only to find that they need to take non-credit remedial courses in college or are unable to pass required entry-level workforce exams. Harbor Frost, the annual winter festival sponsored by the Sag Harbor Chamber of Commerce, returns this weekend, starting with a cocktail party and a taste of Sag Harbor food sampling from local restaurants at the Sag Harbor Cinema this evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the celebration ends with a Grouchy fireworks display at Long Wharf at 5:45 p.m. on Saturday. Harbor Frost is a celebration of winter in Sag Harbor, highlighting two extreme elements, fire and ice, says the Sag Harbor Chamber of Commerce. Tomorrow's event features live ice carving demonstrations, ice sculptures along Main Street, live music performances, and indoor children's activities. The festivities culminate with the fireworks by Grouchy off the east end of Long Wharf tomorrow evening at 5:45 p.m. Weeks after Stony Brook University researchers reported warming trends have heightened the recent die-offs of Peconic Bay scallops, biologists at Cornell say they are experimenting with a change in the spawning season to breed the mollusks when the water temperatures are cooler. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that the work by the Cornell Cooperative Extension's marine program seeks to reduce stress factors thought to be prime factors in the scallops' decline. Warming waters that can result in lower oxygen levels during the high-stress summer spawning season. Researchers at Cornell's hatchery in Southold say they've conducted two successful spawns of about 30,000 bay scallops in October and November of 2022, in the first shift away from a typical summer spawn. They now plan to conduct field tests to see if the fall spawners have better survival rates and higher reproduction with better resistance to pathogens. If the fall-spawned bay scallops survive better than those produced in summer, such findings could prove highly useful in future restoration efforts, Cornell said in a statement yesterday. The work is funded by the Robbins Island Foundation. This new fall spawning of Peconic Bay scallops would happen in September rather than the typical May. The September spawn scallops would then get planted in spawner sanctuaries in November for the next growth phase. Researchers have been examining a range of potential factors in the Peconic Bay scallop die-offs for the past 4 years, including parasites, algal blooms, and predators. But the consistent trend through that time has been higher water temperatures and a corresponding reduction in oxygen levels. North Haven Village Mayor Chris Fiore, working with trustee Peter Booty, last month unveiled new clearing restrictions that are expected to protect both mature trees and the rights of residents to make reasonable use of their North Haven property. Stephen J. Coates reports on 27East.com that the proposed amendment to the village's clearing law would require developers who want to clear a lot to first obtain a permit that would require them to submit a survey showing the location of any hardwood trees with a 16-inch caliper or diameter at a height of 4.5 feet from the ground, as well as American holly and eastern red cedar trees with a 10-inch diameter at that height. The new law would prohibit the removal of such trees except under limited conditions. After trustee Terry Diet raised some concerns, Fiore and Booty agreed to tweak the measure, loosening the restrictions so a homeowner could, after an inspection by the building inspector, cut down diseased or dead trees with the approval of an arborist, remove trees that pose a danger to property or the public, and cut down trees that are in a construction building envelope on file with the Village of North Haven. The North Haven Village Board will hold a hearing on the proposal at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, February 15th. Residents are invited to share a cup of coffee with New York State Senator Anthony Palumbo and Riverhead Town police officers next Friday morning at the Riverhead Free Library. As reported on RiverheadLocal.com, Palumbo will host Coffee with a Cop and a Shed the Meds prescription drug collection in cooperation with the Riverhead Police Department next Friday, February 10th, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon at Riverhead Free Library. Coffee with a Cop and Shed the Meds are both great community outreach programs, Senator Palumbo said in a press release announcing the events. Residents will be able to interact with local law enforcement, ask questions, and talk more in depth about concerns. At the same time, they will also be able to take advantage of a safe, convenient way to dispose of unwanted or expired prescription drugs. When New York lawmakers made recreational use of marijuana legal, they also made it illegal for most employers in the state to drug test workers for cannabis. Victor Ocasio reports on Newsday.com that labor and employment attorneys say the new landscape is likely to cause confusion about what employers can require and what workers can expect. With New York's first recreational cannabis shops open and more to come, attorneys say they expect to hear from employers unsure of how legalization impacts their workplace drug policies. Use and possession of marijuana was legalized in March 2021 with the signing of the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act. New Yorkers 21 and over may smoke or vape cannabis in most places where smoking tobacco is permitted, but use is prohibited in vehicles, whether moving or parked, in outdoor dining areas of restaurants, and in public parks. The act also amended existing labor law to make it illegal for employers, with a few exceptions, to screen job candidates or employees for marijuana use. Even if they suspect an employee is high on cannabis at work, they can't use a drug test to prove that. But workers in certain occupations and situations are still subject to testing. Employees of the federal government, from U.S. Postal Service workers to FBI agents, may still be tested for cannabis use because the substance remains illegal under federal law. Employers of commercial vehicle drivers and operators, such as tractor-trailer drivers and school bus drivers, may still test for cannabis, as well as MTA and LIRR operators. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.